let's grab our Bibles this morning and turn to Philippians chapter 4. And I've got to tell you guys, you poor things at first service. Last Sunday, I tried to give an announcement, and then I tried to get into the message, and we're going to start over, because the little bit of the message I gave you last week, my heart and mind was still in the announcement. And then I wound up at second and third service, not even getting into the message, but giving the announcement. The announcement was 55 minutes long at second and third service. But allow me to abuse you this morning and have a redo with you today. Philippians chapter 4, verses 14 to 23. And we're looking at the message that's entitled The Power of Giving. Paul says goodbye to the church at Philippi, and he exalts them and thanks them and praises them for their giving. And there's power in that. We all know about that. There's power in giving. Listen, love is giving. Kindness is giving. Acts of endearment are acts of giving. We're a giving people as a nation because of our Judeo-Christian values. As Christians, we are a giving people because our God is giving. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son. Our God is a generous God. He's amazing. I love the fact, and it's embarrassing in a weird way. It's certainly humbling. But when God gives to you and me and blesses us even when we don't deserve it. And actually the fine print is, when do you and I really deserve God's blessings and kindness? We don't, do we? He's just good. We've all heard the challenge, by the way, to put your money where your mouth is. It's a popular saying. But regarding Christianity, it would be more practically said for us to put our money where our faith is. Now, we mention money because Paul's going to mention money. And in this church, we don't like to talk about money. We just don't do it. Over the course of 25 years, we've probably had 3 or 4 sermons on money because it was regarding the context or the verse that we were passing through in their Bible. Everything that God has done in this church from the first day of the home Bible study with the Folgers, remember Folgers? Folgers coffee can with a plastic lid, a little slit in the top. We've never lacked for coffee and donut money. We've always operated within our means, and everything this church has ever done has been cash. By God's grace, God has been generous to us. We owe no man anything. We're debt-free as a church. It's always been that way, and that frees us up to allow us to get the gospel out. It frees us up to help people stay in their homes. It helps people recover from issues and stuff of life that by no other means they have help. But you do that. And I'm grateful for that. I believe it's a great thing in the Christian church that we, as much as possible, take it off the shoulders of the government, which I think is an offense. There should be no welfare system in America. The church in America should be the welfare system. The government should say, church, go love on people like your Jesus said to do, and free up the government from doing that stuff. The church ought to be all over the place. From the streets of LA to the greatest places possible. The church should be present. We're very familiar with the words of Jesus in Matthew chapter 6, verse 19, when Jesus says, do not lay up for yourselves treasures on earth. That's easy to do. And to some sense, we all do that to a point. I'm not saying in a bad way. I'll explain that more in a moment. He says, do not lay up for yourselves treasures on earth, things to trust in on earth. Don't trust in them, where moth and rust destroy and where thieves break in and steal. He'll go on to teach us, but rather lay up our treasures in heaven. What God gives us in this life, we are to steward over. We're to manage for the glory of God. And look, I don't want to be quoted out of context here, so don't take this little clip and use it to some weirdness here. It's just too bad because of God's people being so immature when it comes to money that God can't bless more of his people with more money because they would be able to handle it rightly and use it for the glory of God. It's pretty sad that the world's got all the bucks. If God's people would get smart and realize that money in the hand of a Christian is a tool. It's not money. It's a tool. that maybe God would begin to bless us more because we would be conduits of receiving it and then using it to bless other people and get things done for the kingdom's glory. Paul's closing remarks echoes that very truth. And with a benediction, the great apostle directs his attention to the believers at Philippi with an overriding fact regarding the Father heart of God. And sneak ahead for a moment. It's the theme from this portion from verses 14 to 23. Verse 19, circle it, highlight it, mark it down if you would. It's what drives his closing remarks. He says, "And my God shall supply all your need according to his riches and glory by Christ Jesus." There's some awesome technical terms. Let me read it to you this way. "And my," notice "my God," that word means "who has provided," listen, "who has provided himself to be my personal possession of experience." When Paul says "my God," he is saying what I'm telling you in closing, church at Philippi. My God has proven to me to be the one to supply all that I've ever needed regarding my experience in serving him. In serving Christ, God provided everything. Church, listen, you want to find God's provision? Serve him. You want to see God move radically? Devote yourself to him. Paul is saying emphatically, my God. He's taking personal ownership. This is bold. He's taking personal ownership of the God of heaven and earth. And he's saying, this is the reason why. My God, in context, he's provided for me everything I've ever needed. If you and I have anything to complain about and gripe about because we don't have the Ferrari or we don't have the sailboat or we don't have the airplane, it's probably because God spared you from that thing messing you up. If you have a Ferrari, if you have an airplane or a boat, use it to the glory of God. And remember, it's not yours anyway. Neither is my 67 Volkswagen. I love it, but it's true. Some of you drove by my house yesterday because you honked and waved at me and I was waxing my little car. Even that little thing, I've had it since I was 19 years old. I got to be careful because it can be a little idle. You see, Jack, it's a Volkswagen, for crying out loud. I know, but when I find myself parking out and away from other vehicles for fear of somebody might dent it, it's an idol. And I try to justify it by saying I'm being a good steward over a little family heirloom there. But whatever you have, you're to possess to the glory of God. And then he goes on in verse 19. And by the way, this is not the Bible study. This is the introduction to the Bible study. He says that my God shall supply. The word means will never fail. Whatever Paul is talking about that we're going to learn about, he never fails in providing it. And notice this. It's the supply, meaning to imbue, to drench, to saturate. I love this word. Listen, it means to steep. When's the last time you heard this word, steep? Steep, with a P, steep. It means to take the tea bag and to put it in the hot water and let it soak. Why do you do that? Look, there's no fun in heating up hot water, dropping a tea bag in and drinking it down. You get nothing out of it. What does it mean to steep? You put the boiling water in the pot and you put the tea bag in there and you let it sit for at least 5 minutes. Because why? Because what's in the bag comes out in its intensity and then you get to ingest it. Notice what he's saying here. That God's supply in your life is to be something that completely permeates your life. You can trust God to do that. And look, it's his riches. What does that mean? This is hard to believe. Look, I'm a Christian. I'm supposed to come up here with great faith in front of you. And I got to tell you right now, this is hard to believe. I'm not saying it's not true. I just don't know if I have this level of faith. I'm working on it. And that word supply means everything that Christ owns is the believers. That's big. Steep in that for a while. And he says, look, it's in glory brought to you by, and this program brought to you by right? Powered by, right? Well, your Christianity is powered by Jesus. It's by Jesus. These promises, this declaration, verse 19, is only as good as Christ lives. And thank God he lives forever. So Paul the Apostle is saying in our modern day tongue, perhaps this way, to the Philippians, just as you provided for me out of your generosity and love, even so God will provide for you out of his generosity and love. Philippians 4, verse 14. Nevertheless, you have done well that you've shared in my distress. He's thanking them. Now, you Philippians know also that in the beginning of the gospel, when I departed from Macedonia, no church shared with me according to giving and receiving, but you only. For even in Thessalonica, and that was an awesome church, you sent aid once and again for my necessities. Wow. Missionary-minded church. He's saying he was serving in Thessalonica, but the Philippian church underwrote the ministry outreach. Verse 17, not that I seek the gift, but I seek the fruit that abounds to your account. Indeed, I have all and abound. I am full, having received from Epaphroditus, he was the messenger, he was the FedEx agent for them, the things you sent from you, a sweet smelling aroma, an acceptable sacrifice, well-pleasing to God, and my God shall supply all your need according to his riches in glory by Christ Jesus. And now to God, our God and Father, be glory forever and ever. Amen. Greet every saint in Christ Jesus. Listen to this. The brethren who are with me greet you. All the saints greet you. And especially those who are of Caesar's household. That's awesome. The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ be with you all, he says. Amen. Today, church, we look at verses 14 to 16, and the power of giving is shown to us by this fact. It puts us where the action is. And I absolutely love what this means. The most amazing thing, as I mentioned to you guys last week, in Matthew, Mark, and Luke, in those three gospels, one out of every six verses either deals with money or the stewardship of resources. That's important. 29 parables out of them all, 16 of them deal with man and his management of his wealth and what God has provided him. Luke 16, verse 13 says, no servant can serve two masters, for either he will hate the one and love the other, or else he will be loyal to the one and despise the other. You cannot serve God and mammon or money. Isn't that amazing? Notice that all of our strife and division and angst comes between us, God, and money. In our culture, value, mammon, the god mammon. It doesn't. In America, it's dollars or gold or silver. In other countries, it would be something else. If you're living in the jungles of South America, it wouldn't be dollars. It would be monkeys or pigs that provide, that grant you or display your wealth. So it's quite amazing. So here we go in our first attempt at this today. The power of giving puts us where the action is in verse 14 to 16. The first thing that we see is displayed in verse 15, and that is it grants us immediate access. I'm very passionate about what we're going to talk about. I believe in this strongly. When he says, now you Philippians, I want to say, now you Chino-Hillians, are you wherever you're from, but you make up this church. You know also that in the beginning of the gospel, from the going forth of the gospel, listen, when you Philippians heard it, now it's personal. In other words, the first time I came to Macedonia and preached the gospel in Philippi, when you heard it, you were transformed. Something happened. The gospel got a hold of you, and it changed the way that you thought about life and your entire worldview. He says, when I departed from Macedonia, no church shared with me concerning giving and receiving, but you only. The terms that he uses are remarkable terms right here. They're banking terms. They're investment terms from the first century. The word shared, concerning, giving, receiving. All of them were used in the economy of the Roman Empire. They're all accounting terms. And so the Philippians, he is announcing to them, listen, thank you for giving financial support, and it started the moment you heard the gospel. Now, you and I have got to fight this. It's in my mind, and I'm going to share it, and maybe I'm the only one in the room because I despise this stuff. When we see the gospel being preached, but the only way for it to continue on is if you give money, I find that incredibly offensive. God can use Balaam's donkey. The Bible says in the future he's going to use angels to fly through the midst of heaven. God does not need our money. What God invites us to do is to enter into the work and to transform those dollars and coins to tools. I mentioned this to you several weeks ago. Tools is what the Christian is supposed to use. We don't have money. A church doesn't have money. It has tools to affect the culture, to reach out to others, to advance the gospel. And he's saying your lives were changed. The Philippian church was clearly a missions-minded church. Three ways. They must have seen the spiritual benefits to the preaching of the gospel. Think of it. Did you hear that? They must have seen the spiritual benefits to the preaching of the gospel. Do you understand that? Do you believe that? I believe you do believe that. You guys, your generosity, and predominantly Wednesday nights, I don't know if you know this or not, but Wednesday nighters, their tithes and offerings, 100% of their offerings go to the advancement of the gospel. It's just the way it's been designated. What does that mean? I can tell you what it means this week. Salem Broadcasting put this program of this teaching over the, and boy, do they need it, the entire city of Chicago. 9 million people. Starting next week, the gospel. Listen, by your generosity to preach or to advance the gospel in giving, the gospel now hits Chicago. Not only that, we just found out this week that CSN is going to be broadcasting the teaching of this ministry on 375 stations across America. Why? To reach cities and towns and places. Sirius XM Radio, 4:30 in the afternoon in New York, 1:30 Pacific time. Across the nation, 26 million subscribers to Sirius XM. The gospel goes out every day from this pulpit. What is happening? God's people, you, responding to the going forth of the gospel. And lives are being changed. I tell you what, we ought to create some post site, some blog thing, so you can see the returns of your investment. Now, I know that you're going to see that in heaven. You're going to meet the people. I was at a wedding last night. Spectator. It was awesome to be at a wedding and not be doing it. And sitting there in this church, and this young lady turns around. I said something to my granddaughter, and she turned around. She looked at me, and she looked at me kind of weird looking. She just goes like this. And I thought, well, that's kind of strange. Anyway, whatever. And then at the end of the wedding, she said, I recognized your voice. My family listens to you in Dallas, Texas. Listen, you guys, that's because of you. The gospel's going out. And Paul thanked them, and I want to thank you. We're in this together. And in the end, the awesome thing about it, it's not Wall Street, it's not Main Street, it's God's street, that in the end, we're going to see the results of what we're doing. Has the gospel meant so much to you? And I know I'm preaching to the choir. That it has transformed your values. Another thing I'm realizing is that it grants us immediate access when we give to what's going on with God. Is the fact that they physically supported Paul in his mission outreach. And that is an awesome, wonderful thing. And you support missionaries all over the world. and they're blessed by you, and you haven't even met some of them. By doing this, by giving, by caring, he's letting the Philippian believers understand that they have immediate access into the priesthood, as it were, of ministry. When you give, if it's a nickel or if it's a million, God doesn't care. When it comes from the heart of you wanting to reach others and bless other people, you enter into the ministry. You have immediate access. You're in the ministry. And I think that's an awesome delight. I mentioned this last time. I want to say this again, that, of course, there's no greater example that Jesus gave regarding us and giving is that he gave of himself, and he gave of his time, and he gave of his effort, and of course, he gave of his life. But I mentioned this, that moms and dads, we all need, and grandmas and grandpas, I have to add, because that's where I'm at now, is we got to teach our little ones, I think, three key things, is to teach them that they ought to give to God from their earliest ages. And remember I mentioned to you last time that they ought to be given a task? Give your kids a task. If it's raking the leaves or whatever, it doesn't matter. Just give them a task. If it's just, you know, put the cat food in the bowl. It's not the, you might say, well, they should be doing it anyway. I agree with you on that. But you know what? I'm trying to make a point here, and I'm trying to create a culture, and that is that they would be a giving people. Your little ones would be a giving people. I've shared with you guys before that when I got saved at Calvary Chapel Costa Mesa, I was making really good money at a ridiculous young age. And I looked around the church, and it's completely fine. And I thought, well, these guys don't need my money. Really what I was saying is, I don't need my money either, but I've got enough saved up. And the more I save up, the more I want to hang on to it. And the more I saw my account growing, the less I would spend. That's a sickness, ladies and gentlemen. And then I met my wife. And she had, from the earliest ages, Anaheim First Baptist Church, she had grown up giving. And when the plate went by at Calvary Costa Mesa in giving on our first Sunday morning date, the plate just went right by. And she looked at me and she goes, what did you do? What are you doing? And I said, what do you mean? She goes, you didn't put anything in there. And I said, look around. This place doesn't need my money. I thought we were going to break up right then. She let me have it. She was 18 years old. She read me up one side and down the other on the awesomeness of God. I'm telling you now. Listen, this is a serious issue. And we would say to ourselves, well, I can't afford to give. And some old great saint, I believe it was Harry Ironside, had made mention, my dear friend, I can't afford not to give. And I want you to understand, that's why I prefaced it earlier. I'm not asking you to give to this church. Find a ministry that honors God and give. There's a lot of them out there. The Bible tells us in James chapter 1, verse 22, that we're to be doers of the word and not hearers only. The danger of that is if we're not actors and presenters and doers, that we can deceive ourselves, he's warning. But I love the fact that from the beginning of the gospel, that was their effect. That's what happened. It transformed them. Now look, technically, the word beginning, the word means at the outset of the gospel taking effect in you. This is an important truth. Has the gospel taken effect in your life? Then something happens to you. If you're formerly stingy, you're no longer stingy. If you're formerly possessive of what you have, now you are that way no more. God begins to do an amazing work. From the reception of the gospel, that's what it means. Something has happened in your life. And then it's the word shared. The word means to communicate. The word means to put out your hands. Isn't that a beautiful picture? To put out your hands. To share by putting out your hands. Touching. Not just the financial part. It's touching. It's reaching. It's caring. It's making yourself available to do that. To reach out. than the word giving. The word means to actually plot. I like this. To plot on how to give. Church, listen, this is a great strategy for all of us. I believe this. I practice this in my own life. I thank God for the board of this church. They practice it. The staff practices it. And you, as we represent you in the world, we practice this for you. And what is it? It's very fun. In fact, something just happened last night. I don't have the liberty to tell you about it yet until it's cleared. But I'll tell you this. How can this issue or this opportunity advance the gospel? How's it going to work? How will Jesus be honored? That is the overriding theme of 25 years of board meetings of this church's vision. How will this issue advance the gospel and bless God's people with this in mind? Those of this church who represent the ministry of this church, and it's not just staff, it's all you who serve, there's going to be a day when we stand before God and give an account. I would assume in some ministries that terrifies them to death. I thank God I don't have to answer for those ministries. I am fully expecting to stand before God on that day when it comes to this issue and be like this. Woo! Bring it! Can you imagine? I don't know how it's going to go. And next, calling up the ministry at Calvary Chapel, Chino Hills. Gabriel, open the books. Let's see how they invested. Let's see what they did with their talent. Did they bury it in the ground or did they put it out to the advancement of the kingdom? Page one. I'm telling you, unless I'm totally messed up and I've missed something somewhere, I can't wait for you to be hearing what happens and you're like this going, I don't remember doing that. What? Because did you hear what Paul said a moment ago? And we'll touch on it. He said, I didn't request or need the gift for me. I'm delighted that the gift has come from you guys to me for your account. Mm-hmm. Yeah. I believe that. Amen. Pastor Jack, there's this guy up here in heaven, and I can't even name the name of the country. It's in North Africa. I mean, it's in the northern part of South America. Surname? Say it. Suriname? Suriname? Have you ever heard of that country? Raise your hand if you have. Okay, I'm sorry. I'm ignorant. I didn't know. I'm glad you guys are on it. We have a missionary there, full-time, translating scripture, reaching out. She's from Canada, loves Jesus, serving Jesus. You're going to meet people from there, and they're going to say, thank you for bringing me the gospel. You're going to say, where'd you come from? You did that! Macau, the Philippines, Russia, beyond. I can't wait for that day. Because it's to your account. It's going to be awesome. In Acts chapter 20, verse 35, Acts 20, 35, the Bible says, and I have shown you that in every way, by laboring like this, the apostle is saying that you must support the weak and remember the words of our Lord Jesus that he said, it is more blessed to give than to receive. We've all heard that, right? Isn't that true? Have you ever thought about it? Think about that. There is a deep soul satisfaction in giving that you don't get in receiving. Think of it. Listen. If you're not practicing giving in any way, start giving now. Not money. Go out and help people. On the way home today, you see some homeless people. Go to Burger King or something. No, let's keep it Christian. Go to In-N-Out. Go to In-N-Out Chick-fil-A is closed. But go to In-N-Out and buy them a Christian burger and shake and give them the Christian gospel in the name of Jesus. And listen, the guy's going to go, oh, right, In-N-Out, double-double animal, amazing. Hey, he may enjoy it, but let me tell you something. Jesus is so awesomely right on because he made us this way. It's more blessed to give. There's a joy in giving. I don't know what to do about this. It's bothering me. It's really bugging me. But all now, it's just growing down on the Santa Ana River, the homeless tents. Now, I understand there's a bunch of people down there. That's where they want to stay. They don't want any help. They don't want to work. They just want, I'm not talking about them. I'm talking about the people who are there and they don't want to be there. We've got to think of something that really works to reach them. In America, in Southern California, right in the heart of this place of incredible wealth that we all experience, there's a host of 1,000 homeless people in need. And I'm talking about those who are in need. Every church in Orange County, LA, River, this should not be existing. Look, if somebody wants to be a bum, there's nothing you can do about that. But when there's people hurting, we've got to do something about it. You pray, pray. Don't give me an answer in 5 minutes. I want you to pray about it. But we need to do something. Because it is more blessed to give than it is to receive. Transforms your life. You know why? When you give, you're acting like Jesus. Everywhere he went, he gave. The second thing we see is in verse 16, in the fact that it enables us to be faithful. Oh, this is a big deal. He says, "For even in Thessalonica, you sent aid once and again for my necessities." The word necessity is an interesting word. Listen to this. The word in the original Greek language means my destitution. We don't usually say it that way, but it's what it means, my destitution. Paul was destitute, in great need. The word means he didn't know where he was going to get his next meal. The great apostle. So look at it, church. The power of giving puts us where the action is. It grants us immediate access. That's what ministry is all about. Every Christian ought to be involved in this. We want to talk about social justice. We want to talk about reaching the culture. That's how we do it. It grants us access as priests, as it were. And then the second thing is it enables us to be faithful as a Christian. Here we go. In Proverbs chapter 14, verse 21, the Bible says, "He who has mercy on the poor, happy or blessed is he." Mercy on the poor. God loves that. Be merciful to the poor. Proverbs 28, 27. "He who gives to the poor will not lack." Isn't that interesting? Giving enables us to be faithful. It's a form of worship. I mentioned this before. It never goes over well. I always get a note on this one, but it's true. Oh, I have a bone to pick with the millennials. They've got so much energy. They've got so much technology at their fingertips. Many of them are making so much money. Awesome! I'm all for you! And yet there's a vast movement in the so-called millennial church not to give. I know where it comes from. It's cynical. They've been burned. They've heard their parents grumbling and griping, and they've seen ministries debacle and fail with money. I get that. I sympathize with them on that. But they're being ripped off by the enemy. They've got time, they've got money, and they have no opportunity to be faithful. They're not putting themselves in the place of being faithful. I'd like to see a great millennial rise up, and they get militant about reaching others for God with their energy, and yes, with their money. Transforming their money into tools. I find it interesting as people grow older in life, the older they get, the more generous they become. It's no secret to you that, in fact, sometimes it's a bummer. I see a lot of people very, very sick and dying. I'm called to the bedside of people when they're dying. When they see me come in the room, they know it's bad news. It's kind of a bummer. Jack, you're here? Is it that bad? It's kind of sad, but I will tell you, though, the death of God's people is, let me tell you, if you're not a believer, I don't know, man, if you're not a believer, we got to get together somehow. You need to come with me to some home visitations or some hospital visitations. If you're a non-Christian, let's get together, come with me. And I'm going to show you how unbelievers die. And then I'll show you how a believer dies. okay? And you need to see the difference. Your life will change on this spot. You need to see someone die. Precious in the sight of the Lord are the death of his saints. It is awesome. Isn't that weird to say? It is awesome. Our values need to be changed. We need to be more heavenly minded so that we can become earthly good. Faithful. In the end, every one of us as believers are going to be examined for our faithfulness. What did we do with the gifts and the talents that God gave us to do or to have? And in Mark's Gospel, chapter 12, verse 41, Jesus, the Bible says, now Jesus sat opposite, oh my goodness, this is amazing. He sat opposite the treasury. I should have had a picture on the wall. I could have done this for you. I blew it. You guys, the temple is there. The outer quarters are there, the outer courts. There's the court of the Gentiles. There's the court of the women. And there's the treasury. And Jesus takes his disciples there. Mark chapter 12. And so Jesus sat opposite, this is by design, the treasury. Isn't it funny? He takes the disciples right where people give their offerings, money. And saw how, not what, how the people put money into the treasury. I kid you not. Pause right there, leave it on the screen. Looking for something to throw. People, literally, you can read this in history books. People would, oh, okay, first of all, the treasury had these, think of a trumpet. Think of a trumpet. Broad at the base, narrow at the top. They're tall. They're made out of metal. People, how they gave. They would come over in giving and they would take their coins and they would take it and they would go, Why? To make the noise. Boom! And people would go, oh, whoa, did you see how much that guy just gave? Little golfer's clap. Oh, what a giver. Okay. And it was a big deal. It was incredibly embarrassing if you didn't have much to give. But Jesus takes his disciples on a field trip to see how people give. And many who were rich put in much. Then one poor widow came and threw in. Poor thing. Have you ever thrown paper before? Even though, listen, widow's mites, if you've been to Israel, they're like about a quarter of the size of an American penny. You can throw it all you want. She takes two of them and she puts them in. Verse 43, so he called his disciples to himself and said to them, assuredly, I say to you that this poor widow has put in more than all those who have given to the treasury. For they all put in out of their abundance. That's terribly convicting because that's exactly what I do. Don't look at me like that. It's exactly what you do too. But she, out of her poverty, because in all that she had, her whole, she put in everything. And the Greek word is bios. You don't really care about that, but it's bios, the word there, livelihood. She takes two. Listen, she doesn't take one. She takes two, all that she owns. Just two. It's all that she has. The word bios means livelihood. The word means she needs this to live on. I have never given out of my wealth what I need to live on. I have never zeroed out my account to worship God. She did. And all these people, ka-choom, ka-choom, ka-choom. She comes along, tink. And Jesus says, hey, boys, did you see that? She gave the most. Listen, this is what's awesome about our God. Please listen. You might, because right now you're thinking, gosh, you know what? I have like 50 bucks. Don't feel like that. You might say, well, I have $1 million. Don't feel like that. It has nothing to do with it. The Bible tells us to give out of a happy heart. It doesn't say, oh, if you have $1 million, you got to give $1 million. If you have $50, you got to give 50. That's not what the Bible is saying. In your act of worship, whatever that is, you give it to God with a joyful heart. And she puts it in there, and Jesus says, look at that. It's not the amount. We've got to break this way of thinking. It's not the amount. It's not that it's money. It's how it's given, because we convert it into tools. This will free your life. And so she gave what she needed to live, and she went on her way. Most scholars, you can go ahead and read it later. Most scholars, because of the word usage, she put in what she needed for food that day to sustain her life. That's why the word bios is used. Bios. She worships God. She's going to go somewhere and die or starve. Now, you know how Jesus rolls, right? Somehow she got back to her tent or got back to her little house. And you know she opened up the door, just like the widow at Zarephath. Remember that with Elijah? What a cruel story that is. She's poor. He says, hey, give me something to eat. She goes, I don't have anything to eat. Yeah, you got some Twinkies right there on yourself. I want the Twinkie. That's my last Twinkie. I'm going to die. If I give you that Twinkie, I'm going to die. Give me the Twinkie. He eats the Twinkie, and long story short, she's got Twinkies for the rest of her life. Somehow I believe that little old lady from Jerusalem went home, and her cupboards were full of whatever, okay? It's just the way God is. It's unusual because the only thing in the Bible where God says, test me on this area. The power of giving puts us where the action is. It makes us or enables us, allows us, causes us to be faithful. When you leave this building, I'm not sure if any of you have noticed it, because I know some of you leave out through the sides. If you go through the main doors and turn around in the foyer, there's a verse that's up on the wall because it's true. In 1 Chronicles 29:11 to verse 16, it says, yours, O Lord, is the greatness, the power, and the glory, the victory and the majesty, for all that is in heaven and on earth is yours. Yours is the kingdom, O Lord. And you are exalted as head over all. Both riches and honor come from you, and you reign over all. And your hand is power and might. In your hand is to make great and to give strength to all. Now, therefore, our God, we thank you and praise your glorious name. But who am I? These are Solomon's words. Who am I and who are my people that we should be able to offer so willingly as this? For all things come from you. Listen, and of your own we have given you. We are aliens and pilgrims before you. As were all our fathers, our days on earth are as a shadow and without hope. Verse 16, O Lord, our God, all this abundance that we have prepared to build you a house for your holy name is from your hand and is all your own. That is true for every one of our lives right here, right now. Every one of us. He is that great. And then I want to end with this. In Luke 12, verse 15, Jesus says, take heed and beware of covetousness. For one's life does not consist in the abundance of the things that he possesses. Then he spoke this parable to them, saying, the ground of a certain rich man yielded plentifully. And he thought within himself, saying, what shall I do? Since I have no room to store my crops, So he said, I'll do this. I will pull down my barns and build greater or bigger barns. And there I will store all my crops and my goods. And I will say to my soul, soul, you have many goods laid up for many years. Take your ease and eat and drink and be merry. But God said to him, fool, this night your soul is required of you. Then whose will those things be which you have provided? The kingdom life. As believers, listen, God has given you the ability to influence and to acquire, and that's of Him. It's not a sin to be well off, as so many of us, let's be honest, Americans and Southern California especially, God has blessed us. It's how we manage those things to the glory of God. So I want you to leave this place today militant about blessing other people. You know what? You guys know who Jeff Bezos? Amazon? Second richest man in the world. The other, a couple weeks ago, he wound up for back door somewhere, but you can read about it. He wound up meeting up with Trump people. And then whoever is controlling Walmart these days, because now Walmart and Amazon are going to go at it. They're going to be the two titans of the world for what they do. Some agreement was made. And they came out of these meetings, and you're going to, if you haven't read about it, you're going to read about it soon. But between these two corporations, in the next couple of weeks, they're going to be hiring. Did you see that? They're going to be hiring because they're going to get tax breaks from the federal government. You say, I don't believe in that. Yes, you do. Believe me, because none of us have ever worked for a poor person. They're going to be hiring 1 million people. New jobs. 1 million. See, well, what does that matter? Oh, it matters big time. Watch this. They're going to be hiring, between the two companies, they're going to be hiring 26,000 construction companies. Worldwide, by the way. They're building these things. See, what does that matter? Listen, when God blesses, people are going to get jobs. When they're blessed, like you're blessed, like I'm blessed, we should thank God. Because everything that's come to us has come from Him. And He wants us to be good stewards of it. So that we stand before the Lord in the end, and it'll be an awesome day. More than ever, I'm so grateful for the breath I have. Right? And the fact that we can even put shoes on. He is so good. He's so good that Jesus Christ stepped, as we'll see next week, stepped out of eternity and assumed to Himself the poverty of this world. That by Him going to the cross and being resurrected from the dead for our sins, we might become rich. God's exchange rate is pure. And the value is infinite. Christ is our salvation. Because He's a God that gives, and Christians are to mimic Him. Father, we thank You for the fact of Your great love, of Your incredible, enduring faithfulness to us. I know for people who may be visiting or watching from some other part of this country, but here in Southern California, it's been raining off and on for like a month. It's amazing. It's amazing, every drop. And we've learned to appreciate every drop because it's been dry for so long. And Lord, we pray today that every drop that comes from You, be it our breath, a penny, a raindrop, that we would give You the praise and the honor and the glory for it. Because it all speaks of one beautiful, incredible, fact, Jesus gave himself for us. In that name we trust, and in that name we worship. And all God's people said, amen. Church, let's stand together if you would, and let's